Dear devotees, we'll be continuing with the explanation of the Bhakti Shatak from Doha number 45. Radhe, 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 Radhe. Radhe, 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 Radhe. Brahmalok paryant sukh aru mukti hun sukh tyag tab dharahu pag prem path nahi lagi jai hai daag radhe radhe नहीं लगी जई है दाग ब्रह्म लोक पर यंत सुख अर मुक्ति हूँ सुख त्याग धरहूँ पद प्रेम पथ पर्यंत सुख अरु मुक्ति हूँ सुख त्याग तब धरहु पग प्रेम पथ नहीं लगी जई है दाग राधे राधे नहीं लगी जई है दाग राधे 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 Radhe Radhe, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Radhe. This is a beautiful Doha explaining one of the most important points to keep in mind when we're practicing bhakti. Of course, the first and foremost point to keep in mind is always that bhakti is done with the mind. So only the time spent remembering Radha Krishna, only the time spent remembering God counts as bhakti. Not just the physical time we spend in the mandir or doing some form of devotion. But next to that, the next most important point to remember is not to ask God for worldly things. In fact, in this Doha, Shri Kripaluji Maharaj goes a step further. He says, don't ask for bhukti, nor ask for mukti. These two words, bhukti and mukti, are also mentioned by Rup Goswamiji and his Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu. Bhukti mukti sprihayavat pishachi hridi vartate. He uses the word pishachi. It means like a witch or a demoness. He says these two, bhukti and mukti, or rather the desire for them, are like demonesses who reside in the heart and keep the third thing, bhakti, out. So you have bhukti, mukti, and bhakti. Bhakti is the thing we want, but as long as those two reside there, the desire for bhukti and mukti, bhakti Mahadevi will not come and take up residence in our heart. Bhukti means, as described here, Brahmaloka Paryanta Sukh. All the way up to Brahma's abode is considered the field of bhukti. So that includes here. Here we have many kinds of pleasures, but we divide it basically into five. Pleasures you enjoy with your eyes, your ears, your taste, your touch, or your sense of smell. In Swarg, the same five types of enjoyments are there, just refined. Refined meaning like sugar cane is sweet if you chew on some sugar cane, but if you refine it and make sugar out of it, it's even sweeter, right? So it's refined. But it's of the same kind. It's the same thing with Swarg. It's of the same kind of pleasure. Of here, but further refined. So things taste better, smell better, look more beautiful. So you enjoy more pleasure through your five senses. But it's not true happiness. It's not bhakti. And if we ask God for this, it means we're defaulting our very devotion before we even start. Here Sri Maharaj has said, Tabe dharu pag prema pat. Dhare pag means to put your foot on the path. Prema pat, the path of bhakti, the path of devotion. So you want to take even the first step on the path, then put this idea of asking God for bhukti aside. Nahi to lagi jai hai dag. Dag means a blemish, like you have a pure white piece of fabric and you spill some coffee on it. Now it's got a blemish. So you don't want a blemish on your devotion. So before you even start, you set aside the desire for bhakti. It's generally seen that when people do devotion to God, they ask Him for that very thing. The most common arti that's sung in all of India and all of the Hindu temples all over the world, Om Jai Jagadish Hare. And in that arti, what do we ask for? Sukh sampati ghar aave. Wahi to bhukti hai. So we're breaking the first rule right there. And if someone isn't asking for bhukti, generally they're asking for mukti. Mukti means mujhe tar do. Give me liberation from this cycle of birth and death. Take me across this ocean of cosmic existence. I don't want to be here anymore. Liberate me. That's mukti. The one who really wants to do pure bhakti neither asks for mukti or bhukti. You know that Kunti Devi, the mother of Arjuna and the five Pandavas, one time Shri Krishna told her to ask for a boon. And most people, when they're told to ask for a boon, they'll ask for some material thing. Would you believe even Indra? You know, we're talking about Swarg and how all these layers of Swarg, they're just mayic areas of enjoyment, so there's no real happiness over there. And even if you go over there, you won't be perfectly happy. So might as well stay here and do bhakti to God. Well, to illustrate this point, Indra, the king of Swarg, one time God appeared in front of him and said, ask for a boon. So what did Indra ask for? You'd think Indra must be far ahead of us, right? Far more intelligent than us, far more spiritually advanced than us. Indra says, I want such a girl who's so beautiful that no one has ever seen a girl that beautiful. That's all Indra could think to ask for. So, actually, Shri Krishna, in the form of Vishnu, had gone, and before going, he said to Lakshmi that, you want to see what is the state of Indra's buddhi? Let's go, I'll show you. So when Indra asked for that, then, you know, there was a side glance like that, like, see? So then he used his Yogamaya Shakti and he made millions of the most beautiful girls, ek se ek sundar, all there in front of Indra, and he saw the very first one and said, I want her. So Bhagwan said, at least look at the others. Nay, 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 usi ko chahiye mujhe. Her name is Urvashi. She's a famous apsara of Swarg. Famous celestial maiden, famous for her dancing and her beauty. So later Indra took Urvashi and he went to his Guruji Brihaspati. And Brihaspati-ji sees Indra coming and he says, who's that with you? I've never seen her before. So Indra says, Guruji, Bhagwan had come to me and he said, ask for a boon. And so this is what I asked. Guruji, hey, Bhagwan, mera naak bhi kataya tumne. What's the world going to say that's the extent of Indra's spiritual knowledge? Then what is the state of his guru? His Guruji must be just as bad. So this is bhakti. But instead, when Queen Kunti was asked by Shri Krishna, or told by him, ask for a boon. She said, Vipadah santu nah shashvat tatra tatra jagad guru darshanam bhavato yatsya dapunar bhav darshanam bhagavatam. She said, tatra tatra, every step of my life, give me vipatti. Hum kya mangte hain? Sukha sampati ghar aave. She says, give me vipatti. It means misfortune. Bhagwan sanna ho gaye. He's thinking, why is she asking for such a thing? So she explained, Janmaishwarya shruta shri bhi redhaman madha puman naivar hatya bidhatum vai. Tvam kinchan gocharam. Tvam akinchana gocharam. You are attainable by those who feel themselves to be akinchan. Akinchan means destitute. When you're destitute, what does it mean? You have nothing. Nobody and nothing. You're destitute. The worst off you could be. That doesn't mean physically you have to be destitute. But what Kunti Devi explained is that we need to have that feeling inside that I'm akinchan. With you, without you, I have nothing. This world is of no happiness to me. So she says if someone has a high birth, they have a subtle pride of that. It's natural in the human mind to have that kind of vanity. If someone has Aishwarya, meaning they have a big position and power, they're going to have subtle pride of that. If someone has great beauty, they won't be able to help it. They'll have pride of that. If someone has wealth, they'll have pride of that. If someone has strength, they'll be proud of that. If someone has intelligence, they'll be proud of that. So she says, take all of those things away from me. In other words, she's behaving as a fallen soul or speaking as a fallen soul and saying that no matter what things I get proud of them. And that keeps me from surrendering to you. It keeps me from reaching the point of eka bharoso, eka bala, eka asa vishwasa. I don't reach that point of depending only on you. I also think, but I'm also beautiful, and I'm also strong and intelligent, or I have this much money in the bank. So I want to reach that point where I fully depend on you, 100%. So help me out. Start taking away the things that I'm attached to. In fact, Shri Krishna says he does as much. Tam bhranshayami sampadbhyo yasya chechamyanugraham Bhagavatam. He tells Indra, after having humbled him with this whole Govardhan Leela, where Indra had tried to drown all of Braj, and Shri Krishna had saved the Brajwasis by holding up Govardhan Hill so that everyone could shelter underneath it, Indra realized he was no match for Shri Krishna, and he came and surrendered to him and apologized. So Shri Krishna told him, I arranged this Leela for you, because I saw you had the pride of being Indra. So I wanted to help you regain your humbleness. So, tam bhranshayami sampadbhyo. The one whom I want to grace, I'll arrange him to fall from his high status. I'll start taking away the objects of his attachment so that he can develop more humbleness and feel in his heart that he's destitute and come closer to me. Because tvama kinchana gocharam. You have to be 100% humble in front of God. Only then you're qualified to meet him. So this is one of the reasons we don't ask for bhakti. There are many, many other reasons. Like for instance, we all have our prarabdha. Prarabdha is our destiny of good and bad things that are going to happen to us in this life because of what we did in previous lifetimes. Avashyameva bhoktavyam kritam karma shubha shubham. Mahabharata says you must undergo the consequences of your past actions. So let's say something is bound to happen. We have a child born to us, say. Could be anything. We want a child born to us, and we haven't been able to give birth to a child. So we start praying to God. Maybe go to Vaishno Devi. Make that long trek, and the whole thing done with this idea in our mind that I'm going to ask that I've made this long trip, I made so much effort, so please bless me with a child now. So you go and do it, but what if a child isn't in your prarabdha? Maybe not right now. Could be later. Could be not at all. So if it's not in your prarabdh, is Vaishno Devi going to interfere in that? Is Vaishno Devi going to counteract your prarabdh and put all of that aside and then give you what was not in your prarabdh just because you made a trip up into the mountains? No, she's not. But what will you think? You'll think, I did all that effort and she didn't grace me. Your faith in God will go down. Then what's happening to your bhakti? See, what's happening by asking God for bhukti, what's happening to your bhakti? You just lost bhakti. Your devotion went down. So we're actually harming our devotion by asking God for worldly things, because those worldly things are already predetermined according to our destiny. Then we ask God for something that was in our destiny. Maybe we had a child born to us and then the child got sick. You know, let's say you ask God and it was in your destiny. So you got the child. You're going to get the child anyway because it was in your destiny, but you attribute it to Vaishno Devi. You tell everybody, go to Vaishno Devi. Whatever desires you have, they'll be fulfilled. Then the child you got from Vaishno Devi falls sick. So you go back again and pray. But the child was only destined to live a certain number of years. It's not because of anything bad you did or the child did. Just everyone has a certain predetermined lifespan. If that lifespan is up, it doesn't matter if you go to Vaishno Devi and Tirupati and all over to all the holy mandirs of India, you won't be able to prevent that child's death. If you pay 100 pandits to do 24 hours a day jap to prevent your child from dying, Mrityunjay jap, even then you won't be able to save him. Then what will happen? Vaishno Devi, that child you gave me, you took him away from me. My child has 10 children. My neighbor has 10 children. He's having an 11th born to him now. And I only had one and you took him away. Then your faith is gone. So there's nothing really to be gained by asking God for worldly things. It is an entry point in devotion that if someone is really not desiring God, at least they'll think of God by asking him for worldly things. But we have to move beyond that level. That's a beginner level of devotion. We want to reach a more elevated level of devotion. So for that, we shouldn't ask God for any worldly thing, and we shouldn't even ask him for mukti. Mukti means liberation. Why not? Because we want seva. That is the true goal of a devotee. See, devotion or bhakti comes from the root bhaj sevayam. That's how the word bhakti is formed. Bhaj sevayam. So it means doing seva is true bhakti. That's the true form of bhakti, to serve your beloved. Shri Krishna is our beloved. Radharani is our beloved. How will we serve them? Well, first of all, if we're asking for bhakti, we're not serving them, are we? Then we're becoming the Swami and they're becoming our Das. We're saying, I want this, I want this, I want this. Then we're not doing seva. Seva means serving them for their happiness. So put bhakti aside, why not ask for mukti? That's a divine thing. Because if you get mukti, you don't get to do seva to them. In mukti, in moksha, you merge into God's formless aspect. Aap nirakar brahma mein leen ho jate hain. To leen ho jane ke baad na antahkaran rehta hai, na shareer rehta hai. To shareer aur antahkaran rahit aap seva kya karenge? Aap bhagwan ko dekh bhi nahi sakte. Aankhein nahi hai, to kya dekhenge? You need a body, you need senses, you need a mind with which to perceive God, interact with God, and the highest form of bhakti, serve God. Does God need your seva? No. He doesn't. But that doesn't matter. Bhava grahya manidakhyam. Shvetashvatara Upanishad says, Bhagwan himself says, I am hungry for your bhav. I want your sincere devotional feelings. That's what I want. So imagine the beggar who comes to the king with $1 that he's managed. He's been begging the whole day. He managed to collect $1. And he comes to the king and he offers that $1. The king's heart may melt more than if a millionaire came to him and offered him $1,000. Why? Because the beggar offered everything. That's all he had. He gave his everything. So Shri Krishna is the most kind-hearted king. If someone has the feeling, I want to serve Shri Krishna for his happiness, Shri Krishna doesn't say, Tu kya karega mere sukh ke liye? Kya samajhte ho apne aap? He's not going to say that. His heart will melt. He doesn't look at what we have, he looks at our sentiments of our heart. He's not looking, what does this soul have to offer me? He just sees the feelings in our heart that this soul desires to serve me. Tears will come to his eyes. He surrenders to that soul. He desires to serve that devotee who wants to serve him. So it goes both ways. And that's why you actually attain the highest divine bliss through that simple sentiment. I want to serve Shri Krishna for his happiness. And you attain the highest status among saints. All saints have attained God, but not all saints were perfectly selfless. So if you want the highest status, you must also become selfless, which means not even asking God for liberation. Liberation comes automatically when you attain God and you enter His divine abode and serve Him. So you don't even have to ask for it. Thus, Shri Kripaluji Maharaj has explained that before you even take the first step on this path, put aside the desires for bhukti and mukti, and just desire in the next doha, desire seva, sevak seva hi chahai. The sevak, the one doing seva, just desires that, nothing else. Sevya Shyam Ruchi Jan. Sevya means the one you're serving. Shyam. His Ruchi. What is his Ruchi? What is his desire? I want to fulfill that. That's my feeling as a sevak. Tina Sukha Maharaha Sukhi Nitta. You may say, but what about my happiness? Shri Maharaji says, you'll be happy in his happiness. Tat Sukha Sukhitvam. Naradji says in Narad Bhakti Darshan, you'll feel happy instantly, automatically, because when you're at this level, Shri Krishna is within you and you are within Him. So as soon as you serve Him for His happiness, if He's happy, you're instantly happy. And besides that, He gives you back the same. It's like He takes what you gave Him, He multiplies it and gives it back to you. And you take it and give it back to Him. So it goes on. Pratikchana vardhamanam. Naradji says, increasing every instant. This is the greatness of what we call nishkam bhakti, selfless devotion to God. Therefore, ura na kamana an. Don't let other desires in your heart. Intensify this one desire. Fold all of your other desires into this one desire, the desire to serve Shri Krishna. Well, don't you desire to see Him? Yes, you do. It's not that you don't desire to see Him. If someone said, well, I'm nishkam, I'm desireless, I don't even desire to see Shri Krishna, then every atheist would be called a nishkam bhakt. They also don't desire to see Him. So it's not that we don't desire to see with him or be with him, but we desire that I want to see him so that I can serve him for his happiness. And my desire to see him isn't a demand. When it pleases him, he will come to me with that feeling. So we roll all of our desires up into that desire to serve Shri Krishna for his happiness. Shri Krishna Sukhaika Tatparya Mayi Bhakti. This one phrase sums up Shri Kripaluji Maharaj's, how he describes bhakti. Shri Krishna Sukhaika Tatparya Mayi Bhakti. Which is what I just said to you, so I'm not going to explain it again. We'll sing these two dohas now.
Radhe 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 पर्यंत सुख अरु मोक्ति हूँ सुख त्याग तबे धरहु पग प्रेम पथ नहीं लगी जय है दाग राधे राधे नहीं लगी जय है दाग सेवा ही चहई सेव्य श्याम रुचि जान तीन सुख महरह सुखी नित पूरन कामनान राधे राधे पूर्ण कामना श्याम रुचि जान तीन सुख महरह सुखी नित पूर्ण कामनान राधे राधे पूर्ण कामनान भक्त सेवा खीनित उर न कामना हो राधे 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 राधे
बोलो वृंदावन बिहारी लाल की
सरकार की श्री भक्ति शतक की भक्ति शतक के रचैया की